But there's no outlines this weekend, so we'll just follow along. We're going to get through here and learn and grow as we go with part 9 of Unbound, the lifestyle of faith. Okay, let's hear it for the kids, too. They're going to head on back to class. Bye, kids. Royalty checks in the mail, guys. All right. It's going to make Billboard, I think, that song. All right, as Ricky said earlier, we have a number of people being baptized. 4 last night, 10, 12, 13, something like that today. But what we're going to be looking at today is we are in Romans chapter 10. Something that we can learn from, it was written specifically about the Jews, but we as Gentiles can, but now we're engrafted into the family of God. We are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, this is from the Amplified Translation, says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, we've all heard that. We walk by faith, not by sight. It's true. It's right here in the Bible. "Living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." God's promises is His Word. And what's important to remember is we walk by faith in His Word. That's what He's given to us. He's given us His Word, and that is how we walk by faith. Now, Paul continues on here in Romans chapter 10, where we're going to be looking at here today, and he shares his passion, his longing for those of his kindred, the Jews, to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. He was their Messiah, and he wanted them to know them as such. And in verse 6 is where we're going to begin today, as he clarifies to both Jews and Gentiles, the way to God is not through the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look here at Romans 10 and verse 6 and reading on. "But faith's way of getting right with God says, don't say in your heart, who will go up to heaven to bring Christ down to earth? And then verse 7 says, and don't say who will go down to the place of the dead to bring Christ back to life again." What the Apostle Paul is showing here, he is addressing those who believe that their works can save them, when it's not true. Jesus, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, after he died, he ascended down into hell, into the lowest parts of the earth, before he ascended up on high as our substitute. Jesus took our place on Calvary's cross. He bore our sin. He bore our sickness. He took that all so that we could have right standing with God. He was rejected by heaven and earth, hanging between both, so we would never be rejected. So we would be accepted in the beloved. And what he is saying is, if we say that we believe our works alone can save us, we are nullifying the work of Jesus on the cross and saying it was in vain. So here's how faith works. Verse 8 and reading on from there. It says, in fact, the message, it says this, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we present and that we preach. If you openly declare at the end of service, we're going to do this. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, we'll give you opportunity to do that. It says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord. The King James Version says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10 says, for it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. Being made right with God, that's righteousness. That means the ability to stand in the presence of God without any sense of guilt, fear, inferiority, or condemnation. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scripture tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Then verse 12, Jews and Gentiles are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen because mommy and daddy went to church or daddy was the head usher. Mommy taught Sunday school. No, you have to call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who calls on the name of the Lord? Everyone. It's not just people with a lot of money. It's not just poor people. See, some people get the idea, oh, God just loves the poor. He hates the rich. Oh, he doesn't hate the rich. He doesn't hate the poor. He will save anyone who calls on him. Everyone who calls on him, he will save. So here's your first key here. Key factor of the function of faith are our beliefs and our words. A key factor of the function of faith are beliefs and our words. Our worlds are ruled by our words. Dads, The words that you speak in your household with your family will make or break your family. What are the words that you speak to your child? Are you constantly criticizing them and putting them down and running them down verbally? Those verbal words can hurt somebody worse than a slap to the face. You shouldn't do either one. So I don't say slap instead, but I'm saying words wound. They wound the very heart and soul of a child. So our words should build a child up. And of course, children need correction from time to time, maybe more often than we think. But your words should be words of encouragement toward your child. Now remember this too. Our faith is functioned by our beliefs and our words. It's the way we got saved. We believe in our heart God raised Jesus from the dead. We confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord. So what's the point of that declaration? It secures or commits that belief in our heart. When we say, Jesus is Lord of my life, come into my life, forgive me of my sin, it's like planting a flag in the ground and saying, here I stand. That's what these people today who are going to get water baptized are doing. They are standing up publicly, and they're not making a commitment to this church. They're saying, Jesus is my Lord. That's who they're going to serve all the days of their life. That's a powerful thing, to stand up in front of people, before God, the devil of hell, the angels, the demons, and saying, here I stand. I'm a Christian. I'm going to serve Christ. So watch my life. You know, that's a powerful thing. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, it says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Think about that. If we're ashamed of Jesus, if we're ashamed to share him with others, if we're ashamed to invite somebody to church, the Bible says here, if we're ashamed of that message, Jesus will be ashamed of us when he comes again. So what does that mean? That means we need to be bold. Now that doesn't mean you take your Bible, knock people upside the head. That don't work. It doesn't work arguing politics and religion with people. You want to talk about one of the biggest wastes of time in humanity? It's that. What you do is you share Jesus' love. You share what Jesus did in your life. Now if they don't want to hear it, that's fine. Years ago, I remember a member of our church asked if I would go and visit his grandfather who was dying in the hospital. And I went to that hospital. And I went into the room, and I told the gentleman, I said, sir, I said, your grandson, and I said his name, I'm his pastor, and I'm here to pray with you. Is that okay if I pray with you? And he turned and he looked at me, and he went, go to hell. And I went, okay. God bless you too. And I left. Some people don't want to hear it. Some people will reject that. But you know what? You can't allow that to affect your heart. To this day, it pains me that that's how he felt. But he's a free moral agent. You can say the yes to God. You can say no. You can go your own way. You have a choice in this life. You know, even the demons believe in Jesus, but they won't confess him as Lord. Here's what it says here in James, I believe it is, in James chapter 2. It says, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Well, good for you. God, great. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. They believe, but they won't confess Jesus as Lord. So believing doesn't just get you there. You have to believe, and you have to make that confession of faith as well. That's what activates things, and God's power goes into operation. Faith is how we connect with God. And Hebrews 11 tells us it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards. Everybody say rewards. That he rewards those who sincerely seek him. You see, the oldest lie in the book started in the Garden of Eden when the devil, in the place of the serpent there, said to Eve, you know, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. God's holding out on you. The lie started right there, that God's the great withholder. He doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to have any fun. He wants your life to be boring. Folks, I have more fun than human beings should be allowed to have. I got news for you. I mean, the Cubs beat the Cardinals on my birthday. I mean, hey. I was there looking at the TV going, thank you, you love me. I know you do. But, you know, Serving God, is it always easy? No. Sometimes it's a pain. But you know what? There's so much joy in it. There's so much joy and fulfillment and contentment and meaning in serving God. He's not withholding from you. He wants to reward those who sincerely seek him. And the scripture teaches that, there's power in our words. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue can bring life or death. The tongue can bring life or death. Gentlemen, when your wife asks, does this dress make me look fat? What you're about to say at that point will bring life or death to you. I'm just saying. I'm not saying, I'm just saying. Okay? Choose your words wisely. In Matthew 11, or Hebrews 11, verse 3 from the Amplified, it says, by faith, that is with an inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand, by faith we understand that the worlds, the universe, the ages, were framed and created, formed, put into order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God. They were created and framed by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are invisible. God didn't say, let's make earth, and he took something and he made earth. He didn't make the light out of something. He said, let there be light. His words created. Do I believe in the Big Bang? Yeah, I do. I believe in the Big Bang. I believe God said, let there be light, and bang! You want a bang? There you have it. There you go, Einstein. Now, Jesus, he taught in Mark 11. Oh, I love it. Jesus taught in Mark 11. He comes walking along one day, and he sees a fig tree. Jesus must have been a little hangry that day because he's hungry. There's a fig tree. He's wanting some figs, and he sees the tree is not producing any figs. There's no fruit there. And what does Jesus do? He curses the fig tree. He curses the fig tree. And he says, nobody's ever going to eat figs of you forever. You're done through. See ya. And the next morning, they come back by the same tree. It's withered from the root. It's like somebody sprayed, Roundup on it. His spiritual Roundup. He said, no more figs on you forever. And it wound down. And in verse 22 of Mark 11, they said, man, Jesus, this is the tree that you cursed. And he said, have faith in God. What was he saying? That we're supposed to go around cursing fig trees? No. He's saying there's power in your words, in what I said. Why did this happen? Why is this tree withered and died? Because I spoke to it. He said, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says, everybody says, to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that, what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Verse 23. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for and pray, in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That was actually verse 24. I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it'll be yours. Believe that you receive. When do you believe that you have what you prayed for? When you've got it? No. You believe that you received it when you asked. If you're standing on a promise from God's word. Now, if you're praying for a cocaine farm, you don't have a promise from God's word for that. Sorry, you know. If you do, I'll visit you in jail. Winter hours, I'll come by. I'll bring you a Bible, and you can get into the promises. But if you have a promise from God's word, whether it's for healing or for blessing or for salvation, for a loved one, for a situation, for a circumstance, you can stand on the promise. And at that moment, I pray, Father, you said in your word, I remind you of your promise. And I thank you that you were just, you were merciful, you were true. And I believed I received it at that moment. And guess what? From then on, I thank God for it. I don't ask again. I say, I thank you, Father, I have it. By faith, I believe I received it back when I first asked. Then when it manifests, I just go, thank you. And you have it. That's faith. Faith is setting our heart and our words in alignment with God's. Faith is setting our heart, where we believe, and our words, what we speak, in alignment with the word of God. You're speaking the promises. You're believing the promises. You're standing on the promises. We used to sing that song. I remember sometimes when we sang in church with our hymnals, sometimes we'd sit and sing. Other times we'd stand. Our worship leader used to always say, you can't be standing on the premises if you're sitting on the premises. And we'd all stand up. I used to love when he did it. I'd be 12 years old going, yeah, sitting on the premises. Can't be doing that. So we'd stand up and we'd stand on the premises. The same faith that saved us is the same faith we use to continue to receive from God. That faith that you used the moment you received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, when you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth Jesus is Lord, that's the same faith that you use every day of your life to continue to receive from God the blessings. Number two, our mouth is an indicator. Our mouth is an indicator of our heart's condition. Matthew 12 tells us, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. I think the King James renders this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in your heart's going to come out. I locate people all the time. Not to judge them, but just to see where they're at. Where they are at a spiritual level. Where they are in their maturity in Christ. If you want to know what somebody's thinking or how they feel about something, just wait a minute, you'll find out. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth is going to speak. And so that's why it's important to renew your mind to the Word of God, to get into one of our Bible studies, to get on our growth track. Next week is Class 101. If you've been attending this church for any length of time and you want to get active and involved, Class 101 is where you start. Okay? Class 101. Mark that on your connection card. Turn that in. Show up next week. We'll feed you pizza. Then we come in, we have a class for 2 hours, and then you're home. You're home around 2 o'clock. Boom. There you're done. That's Class 101. Or if you want to come just for informational purposes, you don't want to get involved and join just yet, you just want to check things out, stick your toe in the water, no pressure. Just come and sit in the class. You can ask questions. I teach it. It's about who we are, where we came from, where we're going. So first is Class 101. Then we'd encourage you to get into the 7 Basics class that Annette teaches right here. The 7 Basics class teaches you the basics of your faith. You need to get that into your heart. You need to get that into your mind, because that is how you'll start to produce. That is how your faith will grow. As you hear the Word, as you learn the Word, it's not just reading a scripture every morning, you know, popping the Bible open and doing this. Oh, Lord, speak to me. And you're just popping, stopping and popping. That's not the way to follow God. That's not the way to learn of God. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, number three, the Word of God is the fuel to our faith. The Word of God is the fuel to our faith. Some of us are near empty. So what? You need to get into those classes so you can get filled up with the Word. Case in point, several years ago, my son-in-law, Danny, he wasn't my son-in-law just yet. My daughter, Emily, was at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa. Danny was a graduate, but he was still there in Tulsa working. But he was a pitcher for ORU, Division I pitcher. He was a side-armor, submariner pitcher and did very well. And Danny had signed with a semi-pro team that was traveling all over the Midwest and into Canada to pitch for him. And so Danny came up to Kansas City. He had his car. Was it a Mustang? It was like a 70-something Mustang, I think, or Trans Am. I forget. It was a sporty car. But I took the train down from Princeton to Kansas City, stayed the night. He came up, picked me up at the airport or at the hotel. We went over to Buck O'Neill Field where he was going to be playing. And Buck O'Neill was a gentleman who played in the Negro Leagues of baseball. He was a scout for the Chicago Cubs. He signed Billy Williams, a future Hall of Famer, one of my heroes when I was a kid. He was just a great, great person and baseball player. So I went, he showed me all around the field, and then I said bye, and he was getting on the bus and going off with the team, and I was driving home. Well, unbeknownst to me, this car had no air conditioning, and it was as hot out as it is now. And this car also didn't have one other feature that I wished it had. You know when you get near empty in cars nowadays, it goes ding, ding, low fuel. This did not have that, and I was not aware of that. I'm spoiled. I want the ding ding. And I'm coming home from Kansas City. I actually stopped at a gas station in the Quad Cities to get a Snapple and some snacks. And I get back into my car. I'm coming down I-88. I'm near where it goes from Rock Island County to Whiteside County to Rock Island County. You know that spot on I-88? You go two counties and you go back and forth. And all of a sudden, I look down, E. It's below E. It is so far below E. I mean, I just left the gas station 10 miles behind. I pull over the side of the road. I'm out of gas. So what do? Oh, did you pray? No, I called Dave Justice. That's the next thing, best thing to pray in, folks. Call Dave. I said, I'm out here in I-88. I'm out of gas. I just filled up a 5-gallon gas tank. I got it right here. I'll be right out, Pastor. Thanks, Dave. So I hang up my phone. Now, guess what? The car's dead. It won't start. Can't turn the radio on. It is blazing hot out. And then pretty soon, here comes a Rock Island County deputy pulling up. Sir, do you need some help, some assistance? I said, I ran out of gas. Well, do you need me to get you some help? I said, nope. I called my friend from Morrison. He'll be here shortly. Okay, thanks. Don't arrest me. Thanks. And he left. You know, yesterday the police came to my house on my birthday. On my iPhone, I had the music cranking on my phone, you know, while I was in the shower, and I got out and I shaved and got all, I was getting ready to come over here to the church. And as I got out, I'm thinking, wow, this music's loud, and we had company at the house and everything. I thought, I'm going to turn this down. And so I'm hitting the volume button here. Volume. No. I'm hitting this button that if you hit 5 times, it calls 911. Click, 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 click. All of a sudden, I look down. I'm going, no, it's all red, 911. And it's counting down. I'm hitting cancel. I finally cancel it. I'm looking at it. 10 seconds later, hello, Sterling Police Department, 911 emergency. I'm like, I'm sorry, it was an accident. I was hitting the wrong button and I called 911. Okay, is everybody okay? Yeah, we're fine. I get all dressed and ready. I'm out sitting reading a book. All of a sudden, doorbell, bam, 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 correct? Doorbell and bam, 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 bam. I'm like, yikes. I open the door. It's a Whiteside County Deputy Sheriff. Hi, you called 911. Yeah, on the phone. Deek, 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 deek. Sorry. Yeah. I said, the cops come to my house on my birthday. Thank you. But they didn't take me, so it's all good. What's the bottom line? I ran out of gas. And what can you do when you run out of gas? Nothing. The Word of God is the fuel to our faith. And if you're not keeping your engine primed and running with the Word of God, you're going to run out of gas, and you're not going to get much done in life. So fill yourself up with the Word at every opportunity. Have the Word of God playing in your house, in your car, you know. Sometimes I go to bed with the healing scriptures playing. It's all Bible, just reading scriptures. Other things as well, music, scriptural music. So you're listening to it. What are you doing? You're feeding your faith. Romans 10 verse 14 says this, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him, Jesus, unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. The fella at the CGH who told me where to go. Remember him? Not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. King James says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith rises in your heart when you hear the Word. That's where faith comes from. How did I first know that I could be saved? By hearing the Word. How could I know I could be healed? By hearing the Word. How could I know, did I know I could be filled with the Holy Ghost? By hearing the Word. How could I know that God wanted me to be blessed? By hearing the Word. How did I know that I could actually share my faith with somebody else? By hearing the Word. Faith comes, fuels your heart, fuels your faith by hearing the Word of God. And Hosea 4:6 says very simply, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. If you don't have that knowledge, I'm not talking head knowledge, I'm talking heart faith knowledge. It needs to go take a 1 foot drop from here to here, because this is where you believe. You believe it in your heart. And I know these days we have a lot of people ODing. But there's one thing you can OD on, and that's on the Word. You need to overdose on the Word of God and renew your mind and start to starve yourself from the things of this world. When we starve ourselves from the Word, we have little faith. Just little faith. Here in the Gospels, there are several different examples here. In the Gospels, Jesus gave his insight that our faith can be at different levels. You know, we're all given a measure, the measure. The Bible says we're each given the measure of faith. Each and every one of us was given. Let's say it was a teaspoon. You know how you take a teaspoon and you level it off? And that's the measure. We're each given the same amount of faith. Well, that person just has great faith. It's because they fed their faith. They fed it. You can do the same thing. We're each given the measure of faith. It's case in point. I've used this as an illustration for years. When I was born, June 16th, 1964, at 11:52 in the morning, I've never been late for lunch. I probably was born in one of Arthur's number 22. With sour cream. And so I was born. Here I'm a baby. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger is born. If you look at one or the other and say, wow, which one's going to grow up and become Mr. Universe, Mr. Olympia, this great bodybuilder, Conan the Barbarian? I don't know. I don't know how big Arnold Schwarzenegger was. I was 8 pounds, 4 ounces. I wasn't a teeny baby. My brother Mark, on the other hand, he was so little, my grandma said, I don't know if he's going to make it. He's had to be put in the incubator. Nowadays, he'd have been sent to a NIC unit. Well, Mark's now 6'5", 300 pounds. And look at me. What did Arnold Schwarzenegger do? He lifted weights. I could sit back and say, man, it's not fair. He was given more muscle than me. No, he wasn't. He has the same amount of muscle I did at birth. So did Arnold. Arnold. He had the same amount. But what did he do? He pumped that muscle. He used that muscle. He exercised that muscle. He lifted lots of weight. And he became Mr. Universe as a bodybuilder. Famous movie star. Governor of the Governator of California. Come on, do it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Colin. I knew one day, Colin, I would call on you. One day. But what did he do? He exercised it. It's the same with faith. We're each given the measure of faith. Just as we too were given the same measure of muscle, we are given the measure of faith. We need to feed our faith. We need to fuel our faith with the Word of God. Jesus said to the centurion, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Why? Because the centurion had said to Jesus, you don't have to come to my house, you just speak the word and it'll be done. Jesus is like, wow, this guy's not even a Jew. He understands. I have never seen such great faith. The man had great faith. Why? Because he said, I'm a man under authority. I say to this man, go, he goes. This guy, come, he comes. I understand. I'm a man of authority. And when I say it, it's done. Jesus, he recognizes a man of authority. Not in a military realm, but in the faith realm, the healing realm. And he said, you just say the word, it'll be done. Jesus said, your servant's healed. He went home, his servant was healed. Boom. Great faith. Now, there's another woman, the Canaanite woman, who is driving Jesus and the disciples up the wall, wanting her daughter to be healed. And he says, you know, I don't have time for the dogs. God's word isn't for the dogs. And the woman said what? Instead of getting offended, some of us get offended so easily. I mean, boo freaking who? You get offended over anything. Some of you are offended. I said freaking. Well, boo hoo. You know, the woman didn't get offended. What does she do? She pressed in. She said, true, but even beggar dogs get crumbs that fall from the master's table. What did Jesus say to her? He said, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Daughter was healed. Great faith. And then there's Jesus with the disciples. They're out on the boat. They're in the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is asleep. Great storm comes up. And what are they doing? They're looking at Jesus. Jesus is sawing logs, man. He's out. He's tired. He's been preaching. He's been dealing with people. Do you know what I do after I get done preaching and dealing with you all? I go home and take a nap. Thank you. That's what I do. It drains you. It pulls on you when that happens. That's what Jesus was dealing with. He's sleeping. And what do? They wake him up. And Jesus stood up and he rebuked the storm. And what did he say to him? You of little faith, why did you doubt? You know, he said, little faith, great faith. So there are different levels of faith. So we can grow in our faith. Sometimes we need a faith lift. Faith lift. I have a Freudian slip there and say something not good. So we need to lift our faith. And how does that happen? By the word of God. Build your faith. Fuel your faith. For faith holds strong despite conflicting circumstances. Faith holds strong despite conflicting circumstances. Well, man, I've been believing for this need to be met, and I just got it's turned over to collections. What's going on now? Or I'm believing for this situation, and it's getting worse. Faith holds strong despite conflicting circumstances. If you get down into the woe is me's and start thinking, well, I guess God doesn't care, then you're letting go. You need to stand strong, even in the midst of conflicting circumstances. It says here in Hebrews 10, let's jump ahead to Hebrews 10. It says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Don't let it go. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patience and endurance. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved. What's he doing? He's saying, live by faith. Even when circumstances say, throw in the towel, God's holding out on you. Remember the oldest lie in the book? He's the withholder? No, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, of those who believe on him, who take his word and trust in it. Number five, we're just about done. Our faith in God is based upon his word, firstly. Jesus said, jump ahead to 2 Timothy 3. It said, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Scripture is but from God. The Bible is not just a book like, some author, like Edgar Allan Poe or Shakespeare or something. Good books, good reads, but the Bible is inspired. It is God's word to us. And Hebrews 4 tells us, for the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. What does that show us? If you need to know when something's going on in life and you have a direction, is this me? Is it my soulless realm, mind, will, and emotions? Is this just me? Is it my spirit where God speaks to you? Or is it my flesh? The only way you're going to be able to discern is by the word, because the word is sharper than two-edged sword, cutting between, dividing between spirit, soul, and body. Joints and marrow, that's your body. So you have to know the word. If the Spirit of God's telling you, you think the Spirit of God's telling you to do something, leave your wife, go after this other woman. Guess what? That's not God! Oh, no, we're joined in the Spirit. I've heard this over 30 years of ministry. I don't love her anymore. I'm going after her because God has us together. We're joined in the Spirit. No, you're joined in her. She's your wife. Drop it. It contradicts what the Word of God says. That's not God telling you to do that. That's your flesh, because she's telling you what you want to hear and other things. So number one, his Word. His word. Secondly, his character. Our faith in God is based upon his character. The Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 145, the Lord always keeps his promises. He is gracious in all he does. He keeps his promises. Now, how many of you know there are people on this earth that don't keep their promises, unfortunately? But God always does. Next, his ability. His ability. Matthew 19, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it's impossible. But with God, everything is possible. His ability, can he do it? Well, God can do anything. But the next point brings up a sticky issue, his willingness. Will he? I know he can, but will he? I know he's done it, but will he do it for me? It does it for everybody else, but will he do it for me? Matthew 8 says, suddenly a man with leprosy approached him and knelt before him. Lord, the man said, if you are willing, you can heal me. He already believed he could. I believe you can. You can heal me, but are you willing and make me clean? Because he was a leper. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. Instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Only place in the Bible where God's willingness to heal was questioned, Jesus answered it. I'm willing. Too many people try to act spiritual. Lord, if it be thy will. He's willing. Look at his promises. His word and his will align. And then lastly, his reputation. In John 20, the Bible says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. You see, what we have in the Bible is not all-inclusive. Well, Jesus never talked about this particular sin. Well, Jesus didn't talk about child molesters. Does that mean child molesting's okay? No. It's not an all-inclusive thing. But the Bible gives us a picture. The Bible tells us that if the books, that if all that Jesus both did and taught were to be written, the world couldn't even hold the books. So what we have in our Bible is a snapshot. It is a picture of his will, of his character. It is a blueprint or picture of his will and his intentions. When Jesus said, pray the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is there sin in heaven? No. Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there poverty in heaven? No. It's not God's will for that to happen on earth. Well, why does it happen? It's because we live in a fallen state. But Jesus redeemed us from the fall. So if you come to him through faith, he'll turn it all around for you. And things will start to change in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and those watching online, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, and you would like to pray to receive Christ, I want you to pray with me right now. Right here, right now. Those watching online as well. As we said earlier, if you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead, it's time to take that step of faith and confess him as Lord of your life. If you'd like to do that, pray with us right now. We're all going to pray out loud together. Or you may be here and you say, Pastor Scott, I received Jesus at one time in my life, but for whatever reasons, circumstances arose, and you walked away from that commitment to God, and you want to recommit, rededicate your life. If that's you, I got news for you. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He's waiting for you to come home. So you pray with us too. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth, that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you pray too. So I'll pray out loud together. Family here at Abiding Word, those watching online, believe and speak right now. Just say this right after me, right out loud. Say, dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. All right. Well, right now we're going to have those who are going to be water baptized. You can be dismissed.